Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is where we are. Hebrews 11, 32. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 32. We will read all the way from 32 down to 40 responsively. I will read the even verses. Let's all read the odd verses together. So Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 down through 40. Now I will begin reading in verse 32. The Bible says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect." And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, again, thank you so much for this place, and thank you for what you did here, even this morning. Thank you for the preaching, the first-time visitors, the returning visitors, those that were saved. God, thank you that we get to be a part of your great work. Please speak to us again tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Bruised for my iniquities. All right. Thank you, ladies. Music tonight was tremendous. The singing and all of it. And I want to thank you again for being faithful. I know many of you went to a family's house or whatever, and you probably didn't get a nap, and you probably ate too much, and you're probably tired. So am I. So we're going to pray, and we're going to be dismissed, okay? Just kidding. We're not doing that. What we will not, I know it's later than normal, and I will not be long if you'll give me about 20, 25 minutes, and then I'll let us go tonight. But I do want you to listen. Of course, you're the choir. I'm preaching to the choir. We understand the importance of the resurrection, and we talked a lot about that this morning. I want to look at it from a different angle tonight as we look at Hebrews chapter 11. If we know anything about our Bibles, it's the great chapter of the heroes of the faith. You can call it the Heroes Hall of Fame, the Faith Hall of Fame. And it talks about a lot of the things that some of the things that God's people that we know well did as a result of their faith. And by the way, a lot of the things many of us do in life is because of faith in one way or another. In other words, the things we do in life, we act in accordance to what we believe. And what we will believe will be the outcomes based on our actions. And by the way, that can be for either good or bad. When we talk about faith, faith is not necessarily faith in God. Some people have faith in other things, and their beliefs are in something other than God. But that faith in that belief, they may not call it faith, but that's just the word we use. Their faith in that belief is what causes them to act in a certain way, and they're expecting certain outcomes. Well, as Christians, we understand that faith is important, but faith must be in the right place. And so when we talk about faith in the Bible, we're talking about faith in God, faith in His Word, faith in the truth of God's way, in God's Word. In the Bible, faith is related to our beliefs in God's truth. We believe that God said something, and because we believe Him to be trustworthy, we accept it wholeheartedly, and we not only accept it wholeheartedly in our mind, we live it out wholeheartedly in our actions. Believing that it is the best course of action because we believe in God and because we believe in His truth and we trust in Him. That's what these Bible characters did. Throughout the chapter, he talks about those great heroes of the faith and what they did as a result of their faith. Noah, we know what he did. Abraham, leaving his home to go to a place that he didn't even know where it was. God just said, go. When you get there, I'll let you know where it is. That's going to be the land that I give you. Moses and Joseph. But as we get to the end of this chapter, the verses that Brother Joseph read, it takes a turn. It talks about not what the heroes did, but what they chose to suffer as a result of their faith. Notice the difference there. By faith, Abraham did this, Noah did this, these people did this. Now it's switching, and it's getting past that to the things that they suffered or had to endure as a result of their faith, and they chose to suffer it, and they chose to endure it because of their faith. That is much harder to do. It's by faith that let's just choose one, we give. Now, giving is not going to cause us to lose our life. There's a big difference between giving by faith and trusting that what God said about if we tithe and give, how He takes care of us, that's one thing. But it's another thing to put your life on the line. It is another thing to do something and act in a way that you know could be persecuted, and that's what these people were going through. You see, in our modern world, we primarily, in our country, and really in our westernized faith, we see faith as a means to getting something that we want from God. And by the way, we have to have faith when we ask God for something. We have to have faith when we go to God in prayer. But it's faith is not just a means to a selfish end, if you understand what I'm saying. That is what this health and wealth doctrine that has permeated really American Christianity. If you just believe in God and you have faith, you will be healthy and you will be wealthy. Listen, how come that's not working for the rest of the world? Because that's not what faith is all about. The people in the Bible saw faith as a little bit differently. They saw faith as something to be held onto, even in the face of loss, physical loss, and even martyrdom. Now think about that. That's real faith. Real faith isn't saying, I got paid today, let me give 10% of my income, even though it's going to make my budget a little bit tight. That's a measure of faith. But it takes a greater faith when you have to hold on to your belief, knowing you're going to suffer loss, you're going to suffer persecution, and you might even suffer martyrdom. And you're like, well, brother, Pastor Myers, that's just you know, that's for the Fox's Book of Martyrs. That's for the Dark Ages. Do you know that's for a vast majority of Christians that live on this earth? Just not in America. And by the way, as I've mentioned many times, it's coming to America. Oh, it's coming in small ways now, but it's coming in big ways later. That's faith. Now, what I want us to see tonight is a key motivator that these heroes in this book, primarily the ones that gave their lives or were persecuted, had faith in. Look at verse number 34. Women received their dead raised to life, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a what? Better resurrection. If I was going to give you a title tonight, the title of the message is this: A Better Resurrection, Part 2. You say, well, wait a minute. We haven't even had Part 1 yet. We'll get to that in a minute. Earlier in the chapter, he showed us that even those who that may not have suffered persecution for their faith acted in accordance with what was promised to them in the future, not in the present. Okay? We just read about the horrific things that were going on and that they did it so that they could have a better resurrection. But earlier in the chapter, those that may not have been persecuted acted out in a way related to something that was promised that they would have in the future, not necessarily immediately as the result of their actions. Look at back in Hebrews. We did not read these verses, please. Hebrews 11th chapter, verse 13. Let's look there. It said, some of these that were doing these other things, died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. In other words, the promises that they acted in accordance to, based on what God told them, they didn't see the results of that, but they saw that it could happen in the future, and so they acted in accordance. They didn't have to get the results or the reward immediately. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. I'll explain that in a minute. But now they desire a what? Better country. That is, an heavenly. So even those that were not facing persecution acted in accordance with the promises that had to do with what they would receive after they passed on. That better heavenly country. It wasn't about what they would hold in their hands right now. It wasn't about tangible results in the present. It was faith in the afterlife, in the spiritual things that are promised to those that serve this that serve the Lord in this life. The things that they will get later when we stand before God and when we are in heaven. It was their faith in the afterlife, in the spiritual things that are promised to those that caused them to live a certain way now. That's what real faith is. Hebrews 11:1 describes faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is faith? It's that tangible thing that we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. It's that substance. Well, we don't have it now, but it's faith says, I will have it. What is the evidence of that thing we can't see? It's faith. Even though we can't see, and even though we don't get it now, we have that belief. Even though we can't see it, that's faith. And they acted in accordance to that. You say, why is this a better resurrection part two? Because part one was preached in 2002 on Easter Sunday by Pastor Esposito. How many of you remember that message? I remember that message very, very clearly. It was such a tremendous message. And as I thought about what I wanted to talk about tonight, I thought about that message. In the message, Pastor Esposito reminded us that Jesus is not the only one who is resurrected. You see, because he resurrected from the dead, death has been conquered. And so we will not die in eternal death. Fact of the matter is, because we've trusted in him, we will have eternal life. But with that should come a realization that we will stand before God in that life and we will be rewarded for what we have done. That's why these heroes acted out in that way. That's why these heroes allowed themselves to be persecuted. That's why some of them acted out in a way that you would think, that doesn't make sense, but they believe God and they believe what God said, and so they acted according to their faith in that way. Why? They wanted the better resurrection. So tonight I want to give part two of that message. We must understand that the way we live now determines the reward we will have then. Now, I'll say this. You could look at what you would consider the most blessed, wonderful life one person could live on this earth, having everything they want. The person who gets the least reward in heaven is better off than that. But there are rewards in heaven. Now, not just tangible rewards, but also rewards of honoring our Lord and Savior. And I hope that's a motivator for us. Now, none of us are going to be perfect. And when Brother Treber was talking on Thursday night, that was a little scary. Everything's going to be revealed. How many of you are looking forward to that? Be honest. Okay? Now, look, God's going to do it in grace, but it's like, you know. But I hope that in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of our flaws, I hope that we have a motivation and a love for God and a purity in what we're doing for him. Although we're not perfect, but we must live in accordance with the fact that there will be a resurrection for us and we will stand before God. And I hope we want to live in such a way we have a better resurrection. Now, there were two beliefs. We'll go through these quickly. The introduction was a lot longer than the message, okay? But there were two beliefs that they had that motivated them to live for the better resurrection. Let me briefly go through them and I'm done. First of all, we already mentioned it, the better country. The better country. What's the better country? Not the country they lived in right there. The better country wasn't where they were at on this earth. The better country was the one they were going to receive, the place they were going to live after they died. Heaven. Now, we don't know a lot about heaven, although the Bible talks about some things, and we looked at some of that at the end of Revelation. Let me just say this. Heaven will be a wonderful place, and heaven will make everything worth everything we've ever done on this earth, but it will give us a better country. We looked at those verses. So their behavior was amended to be in accordance with that better country. What were some of their behavior? Look at verse 13. They had a delayed belief. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. In other words, their belief was delayed in a sense that they were not living for the promises and the blessing they would necessarily get right then. They were living in accordance for when that day they would stand before their maker and their king. That was the country they were living for. Too many of us live for what's down here. Now, let me say this. The most blessed life you can ever live is on this earth is living for Jesus Christ. God doesn't want us walking around our whole life depressed and discouraged. Well, I'm just serving my Savior. Now, look, I know this is Brother Treber's favorite song. At least that's what it says in the book, or his wife's. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And by the way, it will. But you know what? There's a little bit of depression in that, Brother Wichardo. Well, it's worth it all when we see Jesus, but man, it's miserable now. Okay? No, it's not miserable now. That doesn't mean everything is honky-dory and pleasant. We go through tough times. We all do. But I'll tell you what, going through those tough times living for God down here is much better than going through those tough times down here without him. But they didn't have to have the reward now. They also had a determined belief because of that, that says, and were persuaded of them. That made them determined. They didn't just say, I know, yeah, we're going to be to heaven someday. No. It was firm in their mind. They were really persuaded that there was an afterlife, and it was far more important than this life. They were persuaded of that. By the way, let me say this to our teenagers and our children. When it comes to the beliefs that our church holds to and that we try to teach you in school, we can teach it to you all day long, but you have to come to a place in your life where you're persuaded they're real and you're persuaded that that's the best way to live in your life or else you'll never do it. And you'll walk out of here and you'll blame the church for it. You know what happens so often? You didn't ask, but I just throw this out here. Instead of 25 minutes, give me 26. Is that okay, Jerry? We good? All right, good. 26 minutes. So what happens is you're in our Christian school and you're here every day of the week. You're on a bus route. You're at church on Sunday or at all the services. And then you go to our college and maybe you're not in full-time service and you get out working. And then all of a sudden, everything's different. Our church and everything's different. You know why? You're not here every day of the week. You're not hearing chapel at work. You're hearing stuff that's not chapel. Can I get a witness? And all of a sudden, church is, no. You've just entered a different phase of your life. And if you're not persuaded that spending time with God is the way to go, you're not going to do it. And then you're going to say, well, those people are different towards me now. We're not different. You're just not here every day. We can't give you that spiritual hug or that spiritual kick in the rear that you need. You have to be persuaded. It has to be real in your heart. We're going to put you in a place where you can get there, but you've got to decide that's what you want to be. Got to be persuaded. Why should I be persuaded? There's a better country, and it's coming. Maybe when we stand before there, you're going to say, Pastor Myers, all your stuff burned up. You didn't do a very good job. I'm doing the best I can, but maybe I didn't. But the things we say behind this pulpit, the things you're taught in your Sunday school class, the things you're taught in school, the things you're taught in college, because when you stand before God and you're getting your reward, I don't want you to be able to point a finger at us and say, you didn't say anything about that. See, you may fool your friends, I'm leaving church, I'm leaving serving God because of that. You can fool everybody and you even fool yourself. When you stand before God, you're fooling nobody. Okay? That's why we're trying to get you. Listen, this is the best way to go. Persuaded. Then they had a dedicated belief and embraced them. Once they were persuaded of them, they embraced it and said, we're doing it. This is what I'm going to do. Once you're persuaded, then there's got to embrace where it's like, this is mine. I'm buying into it. I'm taking it in. I'm not just saying I'm persuaded, but I'm hugging it. It's me. Okay? Why do I hug my wife? I have no clue. She's mine. Before we were married, she wasn't mine. Now we're married, she is mine. I embrace her in every way. You need to embrace it and make that yours. This is the way God wants me to live. This is the way God lets me to look, and I'm going to take it in. I'm going to internalize it. It's mine. I'm dedicated to it. And then it's a dictated belief. It says, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. In other words, they just made it known. I mean, when people looked at them, it's like, that's a Christian living for God. They're not hiding it. They're not afraid to say the name of Christ. They're not afraid to say what they believe. They're not afraid to actually just, hey, this is who I am. We're so afraid. It's our whole, hide your beliefs. It's tolerance. Hey, I believe in heaven. And I believe the best way to live is to live for Christ. And if people don't like that, tough luck. I'm not going to be an idiot about it. I just was. I'm not going to be an idiot about it. But I'm also not going to hide it. See, we've tried to change in our country what's offensive. Offensive isn't just saying something. It's saying something that someone doesn't agree with. Offensive used to be, hey, Raul, you're a jerk. Thank you. He embraced that because he's persuaded. Okay? Here's what's offensive now.
Well, here's what I believe. Well, I don't believe that. That offends me. What? Oh, triggered. That's the word. The other day I was talking to my kids. I'm like, what's that word? Triggered. You triggered me. I didn't trigger you. I just said the truth. You're a bozo. I'm so. There we go again, being mean. Sorry. Listen. That. You know why they? You know why that's being pushed in our society? To shut us up. Listen. Why don't we just let people know serving God's the greatest thing you can do? You have to jump up on the table at work and say, "Hey, pagans. That's why your life's miserable." No, but we can be a good example of serving God is wonderful. And then it's a directed belief. They directed towards that country. Because the Bible tells them in verse 15, if they had not put their direction towards heaven, they would have been mindful to look back at the old country and return. That's, by the way, a lot of Christians do that. Yeah, you know, it's funny how Satan gets us. Once we're on that path and we're doing the good road, the old life was so much better. No, it wasn't. Oh, you know, I was at Five Guys and I heard the music and it was good. And by the way, Five Guys music is good. 40 years ago. It's like some place you go to and they play hip, you know, you hear music background. It doesn't even faze me. Man, you go to Five Guys, it's like, I know that song. Where were we at the other day? We were waiting somewhere. I was at Brother Treber. And we're at Applebee's, and he had to use the restroom, and I'm waiting for our seat, and they're playing a song. It's like, Brother Charles, pray. I know that song. That was a good one. When you were unsaved. Okay? But I'm not going to look back that way. Satan's like, oh, remember those days? Yeah, I do remember those days. It was a bunch of junk. It was, it's the songs and the old memories and the old friends. Oh, it's so wonderful. Think about the garbage. Look for that better country. Okay, I got to really hurry here. But Brother Nick, you sang way too soft. Brother, you chose all the long songs in the book, man. Horrible. You're fired. Now, point two. There's 2 points. We're doing really good. What was it? So they look for the better country, and then they look for the better reward. The better reward. What's the better reward? The better resurrection. That's what that's all about. Hey, some of them had their children, their families. Husbands had their wives killed. They were put to death, and they were given a choice. If you recant, you will not be put to death. And it's like they didn't even bat an eye because they wanted a better resurrection. What was that all about? Reward. They were willing to give up their lives for a better reward in the afterlife. By the way, can I just tell you something? That's a good investment. Because what do you get down here? 70 years? Average, 72, 75. How long is eternity? 75 times 100 times infinity to the second power. Forever. What is the better trade-off? Ever. Eternity. And yet we struggle with that. Don't all of us struggle with that? I know, you don't even try. All of us struggle with that. The better country. What did the better country do? I'm going to just say 4 things and we're done. I'm not going to go through the verses. But it confronted them to be soldiers. You look at some of the battles that it says that they fought in faith. Why did they fight those battles in faith and put their life on the line? Because they knew there was a heaven, there was an afterlife, and some things are worth fighting for. By the way, let me say this. Some things are worth fighting for. We ought to fight for them. Okay? We ought to fight for that what is right. And I'm not saying fight in a bad way. Okay, we're not going to start some internet ministry where I can yell at everybody and everybody's unsaved and that's our battle. Those are imaginary battles and that's clickbait. That's all that is. And by the way, I'll throw this out there. Why are we listening to those idiots? Okay, clickbait. You know, you're reading a story and it's like, here's like, and then, 8 points here that will help you be financially free forever. And then, oh, hey, let me look at that. And it's like, give us your email address. Step 2, give us your credit card number. That's why they're financially free. But that's clickbait, and there's Christian click. Listen, we don't need all that. Let's fight the right battles. And they fought. It caused them to stand. They could not. Remember when we looked at Revelation, one of the churches there, they were persecuted. Once a year, they would have to go offer an offering of a pinch. I believe it was a pinch of salt. And they had to offer maybe incense, a pinch of incense, and say that Caesar was Lord. That's all they had to do. Caesar Curios, whatever it is in their language. That's it. they didn't do it, you know what they were? They were put to death. Well, that's worst case scenario. Best case scenario, they were persecuted and lose everything. You imagine the cost. You know what that was good? It made them make a choice. Is this real? Is this a game? That small little decision, are you going to do it or not? You know, they could call, that's real. That's how most Christians would. It's like, no. Because Caesar is not Lord, Jesus is Lord. It caused them to stand. If we live for the heavenly life, we'll stand for the things that are right in this life. It challenged them to suffer. They were willing to do it. You know, we talk a lot about China, but China is getting worse. You know, they're now offering $1,500 cash to any citizen who turns in a religious leader. $750 cash for anybody that just turns in someone that goes to an underground church. It's going to make soul winning really hard. There's persecutions coming for those godly believers. By the way, some of the churches that were there that were known about, they've already been destroyed and the people put in prison. We don't face that. They do. You know, Christianity's real to them. And I imagine one day, and we'll stand in heaven next to these people. We're going to be embarrassed. So why did you miss church? You know, well, grandma had an Easter egg hunt. Okay. What about you? Oh, you know, they cut my head off. Okay, you know, can I stand over here? I don't even want to stand by you. We don't face it. And I'm not trying to shame us. It's just a society we live in. But I wonder if we would be willing to suffer. And then lastly, it comforted them with strength. Comforted them with strength. He gave them the strength to go through all that they went through. What is the point of this? What are you living for? You say, Brother Myers, this morning you didn't talk about Jesus' resurrection. Tonight you didn't talk about Jesus' resurrection. He's already alive. We're okay. We're okay. We got it. We understand that. What about your resurrection? Are you alive? We talked about this morning. Are you alive? Are you risen with Christ on this earth? But the key thing tonight, are you living for eternity? See, the Bible tells us we will all stand before Christ. Now, thank God it's not for our sin. That would be scary. Honestly, if that was true, we stand before God and he's pointing all our sins at, man, I don't know. But what are you doing? What did you do? Were your motives pure? You may not have been perfect, but did you try to do the right thing every time you had the opportunity? Did you try to invest in eternity? Did you try to help people find their way to heaven? Did you just try to do the right things? You say, why do we have to preach on those things? Because it's so easy to get caught up in the here and now. And we're not thinking about the future. You talk to any investment person, they're going to say, you know, you got to be thinking about retirement. You got to be thinking about the future. And more people are and I'm not against you thinking about the future, but more people are interested in their retirement plan than they are about the eternal plan. And I'm just saying to us, let's live for eternity. Because it's real. And one day we're going to be there, and thank God we get to be there. But I hope when we get there, we can just say, I wasn't perfect, but I thought about eternity. The things I did, I didn't do because someone was driving me to do it. I didn't do because, I did it because, Lord, I love you, and I know there's a heavenly country, and I know that there's a resurrection coming, and I just want to be on board with what the things that are important to heaven. Let's all stand this evening.